ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open. Stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
I have kids, and I have grandkids, and I have a wife, and I have a home, and I live in the greatest country that has ever been set in motion on the face of the earth and in human history. How did that happen? Well, I don't know, but I'm thankful for it. That's what made my Thanksgiving such a joy. And that's a good thing to be thankful for. And I want you to know that when he's in there, these people are out there, and they were praying outside at the time of incense. And I find it fascinating that some people got it. The Bible says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." Well, okay. Have you ever been praying and something happened and you're like, you find out that right as it's happening, you miss it completely, but it was an answer to prayer? And I'm telling you guys, listen, it may not happen immediately, it may not happen right when you're praying, but sometimes it does. In fact, sometimes things go sideways if you're going to get ready to pray somebody into the family of God. And you want to talk about weird. I was with a friend of mine once years ago. We were at a person's house. We were trying to share the Lord with this young lady. And her son was just little toddler, little small. And he was like a little urchin there. He was messing everything up. He was running block on everything we were trying to accomplish there. And at one point he ran over and he hit the stereo power button. And it came on and it was screaming out hard metal rock. "She's mine! She's mine! Leave her alone! She's mine!" It was like the weirdest thing. And he ran over and hit it again. It was like almost one thing I was supposed to be told. Leave this girl alone. So my buddy starts taking him into the other room. And just before he does, I kind of hug him. I'm trying to calm him down. I say, "Hey, what's the matter?" He says, "I don't know." You see, the devil's afoot. And God is a very present help in time of need. Doorbells will ring. Money will come at the right time. Things will work out. Things will happen. I had a fellow once, he was giving me grief in our church in Pennsylvania. And I was really vexed and I had been hurt. And it kind of came into bitterness. I had to just say, "God, I just give them to you. I'm, whatever, you know, you want me to go through." Tears. I mean, it was that critical moment where you say, "Okay, God, I'm going to take this. I'm going to be willing for this." And as soon as I gave the Lord that person, I got a phone call. And the phone call was from that person saying, "We're going to be moving." And then another one beeped in, and then the other one was the phone call from a lady we were trying to buy land from. "Yes, I'll give you that land. I'll give you 6 acres of land for $35,000. As soon as I gave God my heart, He gave me His help. $35,000 for prime land where we were was amazing. He was practically donating it. God is in the details of our lives, and He shows up. When you are praying, you can be assured He hears you. He may not answer in your timetable, but in this case, all those people are praying. He's praying down in the recess of that corner of his heart where he's in there and it's all quiet and it's just him. And the angel of the Lord shows up. He's standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And later he's going to say, "I stand in the presence of God." Now think about that. Some of us are old enough to remember overhead projectors. Right? If you took two pictures of the same thing on an overhead transparency and put them on top of each other, you wouldn't know they were there but one. You see, the shadow is what Zacharias was in. Gabriel was in the true, standing right next to the throne of God, the altar of incense. "I stand in the presence of the Lord." So here he is, showing up. The Bible says he told him, "Fear not." Because why? Verse 12, he says, "When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him." I find this interesting. If you would put beside this verse, if you so deem it a good idea, I thought of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 56 and 57. The Bible says the sting of death is sin. You know what that means? That means when you come down to die, the first thing you're going to think of is your sin. If you've seen Pilgrim's Progress, they animated one years ago, I don't know about all of them, but when Pilgrim is going through the waters to die so he can get to the celestial city, the only thing he can think about is his sin. And why does he think about his sin? Because the law. The law. It leaves us all grasping at straws, trying to figure out how can I justify myself? What can I say? I mentioned to you a moment ago, Isaiah, woe is me, I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips, right? First thing you're going to think about is everything you've ever done wrong. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. He's troubled, he's agitated, and he's afraid. The strength of sin is the law, but it doesn't stop there. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but praise be God, who hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you start feeling that trembling and that fear and that agitation and you're thinking, I'm going to die now, I don't know what's going to happen, I want you to remember this verse, because praise be unto God, He gave us the victory. You have that in your pocket, okay? In the pocket. It's God's promise to you to get you through the hardest thing you will ever come to face. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So when I see this man troubled and fearful, I see a man who's feeling like, well, maybe it's my time. But this apparition doesn't just stand there and scare him and agitate him. He says, it's okay. Now he's talking to him. And he begins to talk to him and he says, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. You say, well, how'd you get the idea he's going to pray for these? He prayed it for years. He wasn't praying it at the moment. He had been praying. It was a prayer that God had kind of set on the shelf for the perfect time. He says, thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Verse 14 says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. I want you to know this is a really cool verse. Because this is a little bit of heaven on earth right here. All right, this is what this is. Joy and gladness. The real key here is not just joy, but the word gladness. The word gladness actually means to exult. And it's made up of a compound word. And the compound word literally means to jump a whole lot. Much jumping is what it means. You're going to be glad. He's old, man. And he's going to be glad. He's going to be joyful and he's going to jump a lot. And I want you to know when you get home, you're going to let all of those dignity things go to the wind and say, yeah, this is home. David danced before the Lord. Remember that? And his wife despised him. Michael looked at him and, oh, how glorious was the king today. And he said, I will even make myself more profane in front of my handmaids as I dance before the Lord. Listen, when you cut loose with Jesus, it's all about really knowing what's going on. You're not going to be self-absorbed. You're going to be Christ-absorbed. And that's what's happening here. He's beginning to open up this world to him that's totally different. Zacharias is actually standing right here on holy ground. An angel showing up said, you're going to have such joy that it's going to redound throughout eternity. It's not just going to be joy. It's going to be gladness. It's going to be a thing that will make all kinds of different people rejoice. Think about that. Now, may I say to you that if there's ever a verse that talks about the children are heritage of the Lord and that they're like arrows in the hands of a mighty man, this guy's got the arrow. He's going to get one. And that arrow, he's going to aim for God. His mother's going to aim for God. These are righteous people. They're going to talk about Jesus. They're going to tell him about the ordinances and the commandments. They're going to give him the big picture. They're going to show him there's a hope. They're not going to just say it's commandments because God's mean. And they're not going to have pooch mouth all the time. If you got pooch mouth, get rid of it. This is good stuff. We are in the good ground. And when we're in the good ground, our kids ought to see that we believe that. And they ought to know that we live for that and would die for that. And I'll tell you, this good couple is going to get a good son and he's going to be great, verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And the Bible says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Underline the words, the Lord their God. Who is he preparing the way for? Who is he going to preach? Who is he going to point to? It's Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the Lord their God. I tell you what, it's a deity word. It's a word of deity. Every rock, everything you can put in the pot, God would have you take advantage of. Drink it in. This narrative of this historical event is huge. Zacharias is standing in the very presence of God. Do you know if we could just kind of take a moment? And if we could somehow give us like 1 minute. 1 minute where we're all just sitting here and all of a sudden everything just goes and we could see what God sees. The angels, the demons kept at bay, unless we brought one in with us. Because we gave place to the devil. And we see it all. And the hedge that he puts around this pulpit, not because it's me, but because it's his word. When we begin to realize that he's inhabiting the praises when you sing, and when you begin to realize for 1 minute how awesome it's going to be just to see it. And then all fade to black, and here we are back in our chairs in our nice building, and looking around at people, just normal people looking normal. What? I'm telling you guys. There are times when you're reading your Bible and that's what happens. In a sense, you can go there. You know, you watch a movie and you cry. Why do you cry? Because it's how things ought to be. You cry usually when it's how things ought to be. The guy gets the girl gives her hand, everything works out. Somebody is spared from a heinous death or some kidnapping and terrible trauma. A little girl runs up the path and hugs her daddy on his leg. And you're sitting there, that's the cutest girl you ever saw in your life. She's just so cute. Listen, I'm telling you guys. Don't ever let go of your child heart, because that's what God wants us to have. He wants us to revel. He wants us to jump much in our souls now. And as long as we can, through eternity. This man's going to be great. And he's going to turn many to the Lord their God. And I find that to be amazing. The Bible says in verse 15 or verse 16, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord. And it says, and he shall turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, which is Elijah, and put into our words here. So this is saying he's going to go in spirit and power of Elijah. Do you know, there's a lot of conversation about Elijah and did he come and all that. And Jesus says, listen, he says, yeah, he came. But it wasn't him. He was in the spirit and power of Elijah. Elijah was on the Mount of Transfiguration too, right? There are several verses that come to mind when you think of this passage. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, his disciples asked him, why then say the scribes that Elias must come first? And Jesus says, if you will receive it, this is Elias which shall come. And he was talking to John the Baptist. He said that Elias is come already. That they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. And they asked him, why do they say the scribe that Elias shall come first? And Jesus answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things if he said it not. And he says, when they asked John, are you Elias? He said, I am not. Why? Because he wasn't. He was in the spirit of Elijah.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.